Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lenten theme this year is Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And where do we find the Lamb of God in tonight's reading? But he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Jesus suffers silently. He's put on trial before all of the church authorities. Yes, the church authorities. Those who had called themselves faithful to God. How can you be faithful to God and then yet try to kill God? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But it shows us how hypocritical the world really is, even those within the church. Sometimes even especially those within the church. They say one thing, and their actions do another. They speak, and yet their heart is far from what they confess. You see, the priests, those who had gathered Jesus before, those who were putting him on trial, they were those who would be in the temple week after week after week, telling the people, hey, be on the lookout for this Messiah guy. Get ready for this Christ. Get ready for the one who's going to save us, the one who's been promised to Adam and Eve all the way down through Abraham, all the way to us today. He's coming. And yet when he arrives, they put him on trial. They try to find some sort of evidence, some grounds in which they can give Jesus the death penalty. Does anyone have anything? Quick, by a show of hands, does anybody have anything bad against Jesus? No? No one? It's fine. We'll hire somebody for that, right? We'll grease somebody's palm. We'll make it all look legitimate. To copy Satan, they sort of massage God's words, right? The God-man Jesus, they change his words a little bit just to make it look like he's an awful guy. And they have two false witnesses who come forward, and we actually get their words, right? We remember when he preached one time, this guy, he's a terrorist. He's going to destroy the temple. I certainly hope nobody's in there when he does it. He's going to bring the whole thing down. But even on this point, their evidence didn't agree. Typical, right? That's the way it goes with liars. Their evidence never agrees because they're not telling the truth. After all, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, is standing right there before him. And when you pit a lie against the truth in Jesus Christ, Jesus always comes out on top. He always overcomes the lie because he is stronger than the lie. In fact, we see that all through his ministry because every time somebody tries to trick him in his words, he always ends up making a fool out of them. And so instead, his accusers have to catch him in the truth. They have to tell the truth and deceive the people into thinking it's a lie. And so the Messiah, the Christ, this Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he is falsely charged with blasphemy. The high priest is very clever, right? So he goes, all right, Jesus, here we go. Here's your question. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And finally, Jesus speaks because he must. He is the truth. He makes the good confession. Yes, of course I'm the Christ. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God's power and coming with the clouds of heaven. His answer, it combines two very, very well-known prophecies from the Old Testament. Psalm 110 and Daniel 7, where this title, Son of Man, or Messiah, is prophesied in light of heaven itself. Jesus confesses that he is going to be the judge over all of the kingdoms of the world and that his reign is universal. And he is greater than anyone who has ever lived. In fact, he is equal with God himself. Pretty bold claim indeed, especially for those who don't think he is what he claims to be. And so it's enough for the high priest. He rips his garments and the whole assembly agrees that Jesus must be put to death. It's enough to make our skin crawl, right? An innocent man put on death row. And if that's not enough, they need further convincing for themselves, right? They all know that it's a lie. But in order to prove that Jesus is not the Son of God, they sort of build up the spit in their mouth, you know, maybe combine it with some of the snot in their nose, and they hurl it into his face. Put a blindfold over him and smack him. Who hit you? If you're the Son of God, clearly you're going to bring all of this to an end. You'll stop the spitting. You'll stop the hitting. In fact, you're going to show us all what for, right? You're not the Son of God. It's enough to make our skin crawl. While all this is happening, the first and greatest of his disciples fails him. Peter, given every opportunity to confess that Jesus is the Christ, and yet he doesn't. In addition, he flat out refuses even to acknowledge Jesus. Three times. I don't know what you mean. You're mistaken. What's his name again? It's Jesus? Never heard of him. With friends like Peter, who needs enemies? And all of this, the high priests, Peter, the enormity of all of this sin is the burden that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, carries. He takes it all willingly. He owns it. He doesn't shy away from it, but instead he embraces what he needs to be as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, including yours. No matter how bad, how hypocritical our sins might be, sins of lying and deception or undeserved hatred manifested in spit, Jesus forgives your sins. And the truth is that you need this forgiveness, because who's next in line to abuse the Savior? But you step right up. Yes, you. You again are in this story with your hypocritical heart that confesses Jesus is the Messiah on the Sabbath, but then you go back out into the world to perform your sins in thought, word, and deed. Are we really heartily sorry for them? Because all too often when the opportunity to sin arises, we go, okay, without even thinking about it. We just give in all willy-nilly like it doesn't even matter. Christians are hypocrites. Sorry for their sin, but not sorry enough to stop. And what we try to do is we try to bring all sorts of evidence, right? To tell Jesus how it really is. God, I really did try not to sin this time. I did my best. But don't you dare lie. If you say you have no sin, you deceive only yourself. Jesus can see into your heart. He knows, he sees how easily we give into sin. And so we too gather in front of Jesus to spit in his face and to strike him across the cheek every time we do what we know we ought not do. And like Peter, every opportunity to confess Jesus is the Christ to a world that so desperately needs it, a world that is becoming more and more immoral, more and more racked with sin every single day, a world that needs to hear the gospel. But it makes us uncomfortable to share our faith, to wonder what others might think of us if they know that we're Christian. We don't want to be accused of the guy who gets up on his soapbox. What's his name again? Jesus? Never heard of him. I don't know the man. I think it's pretty safe to say that your sin against Jesus is just as enormous and shocking as all you've heard tonight in the Lord's Passion. In fact, you can probably add some that haven't even been mentioned. And then, on top of it all, there's the sin that each of us commits that we don't even know about. That's how deep sin goes into each and every one of us. That's how original it is to our person. And where do we find Jesus in the midst of our sin? Bring it on. Jesus is ready to take it all into himself, because that is what it means to be the Lamb of God. Give it away. Confess it. Don't try to convince God that you're not that big of a sinner, because in doing that, you hold on to your sin. You hold it for yourself, and then you get damned with it, and you have to die with it. Don't do that. Today, I've been sent by the Lord to bring you good news. Don't hold on to any of your sin, because Jesus forgives all of it. Every single last one, the Lamb of God takes it away. He takes it into his face as you spit on him. He takes it into his cheeks as you slap him. He takes all of your sin onto himself, and he's glad to do it. Because he knows he needs to be your Savior. My friends, your sin isn't yours any longer. God can't count it against you, because God is faithful and he is just and he forgives your sins and he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. This day, blessed are you, because your sin is covered in the blood of the Lamb. You are forgiven, even for the sin that you don't know about. And so today, as we remember this abuse that Jesus endured on our behalf, the sin he endured before Caiaphas and all those assembled, the sin that he endures upon all from all of us towards him, there's only one thing that we can do. That's point and speak. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.